Welcome to Thrones of Power, the podcast where the stories of the world's most influential empires are brought back to life. In every episode, we step into the palaces, battlefields, and minds of history's rulers, the men and women who reshaped entire civilizations, altered the course of humanity, and left echoes that still ripple today. Today, our journey begins where all empire building began. Not with Rome, not with Egypt, but deep in the heart of ancient Mesopotamia, modern-day Iraq, where one man, born of legend and obscurity, would rise to do what no one had done before, unite the known world under a single rule. This is the story of Sargon of Akkadand, the Akkadian Empire, the very first empire in human history. Millennia before the idea of emperor had even formed, the land between the Tigris and Euphrates river called Sumer by its people was a web of independent city-states. Each city had its own king, its own patron god, and its own army. These cities were often at war with one another, trading grain for metal, stone, and timber, but never truly unified. Sargon changed all of that. His beginnings, though shrouded in myth, are part of the power of his legend. According to later inscriptions, Sargon was not born of royal blood. He was a foundling, placed in a basket of reeds, and cast into the river by his mother, possibly a temple priestess who had broken sacred vows. He was found and raised by a gardener, and later worked as a cupbearer to the king of Kisha, trusted servant, close to power, but far from it himself. Then, something happened. Whether through conspiracy or sheer ambition, Sargon overthrew the king he served and seized control of Kish. And from there, he began his conquest. Around 2334 BCE, Sargon launched a campaign across Sumer, defeating city after city, Uruk, Lagash, Uma, and finally Ur, the great religious center. He proclaimed himself King of Sumer and Akkad, a title that broke with tradition and asserted something radical, not a king of a city, but a king of kings. And soon, the conquest moved north and west, toward the Levant, and east toward Elam. The territory he amassed stretched from the Persian Gulf to the Mediterranean and empire in every sense of the word. But Sargon wasn't just a conqueror, he was a system builder. He established a centralized bureaucracy that appointed governors, often members of his own family, to oversee regions far from the capital. He maintained standardized weights and measures across his territories, ensuring smoother trade and taxation. He commissioned imperial inscriptions, inscribed in both Akkadian and Sumerian, that boasted of his power and terrified his enemies. These were the beginnings of imperial propaganda. His capital, Akkad, became the beating heart of the empire. Though the exact location of Akkad remains lost to history, it was described in ancient texts as a city of towering wealth and influence, where culture and administration flourished side by side. From Akkad, imperial decrees flowed. From Akkad, soldiers marched. One of Sargon's most powerful tools wasn't just the sword, it was language. Under his rule, the Akkadian language, written in cuneiform script, gradually replaced Sumerian in administration and diplomacy. It became the lingua franca of Mesopotamia for centuries to come. This linguistic shift was no accident, it was a conscious act of cultural unification, a way to bind together people who spoke different dialects, worshipped different gods, and lived under different skies. Religion was also woven into the fabric of empire. Sargon's daughter, Enheduanna, was appointed as high priestess of the moon god, Nanna, in Ur. More than a spiritual leader, she was a political ambassador and the world's first known author by name. Her hymns, written in first person, blend personal devotion with imperial ideology. They helped legitimize the rule of her father by aligning it with divine favor. But empire is never easy to hold, and as Sargon aged, the regions he conquered began to strain under the weight of central control. Revolts flared up. Sargon's successors, Rimush, Manishtushu, and most famously Naram-Sin, his grandson, would face growing resistance. Naram-Sin took a bold step. He declared himself a living god. In an age when kings were seen as chosen by the gods, this was a revolutionary act of self-divinization. He called himself King of the Four Quarters of the Earth, and erected victory stelae showing himself towering above crushed enemies. The most famous of these, the victory stele of Naram Sin, shows him climbing a mountain in triumph, stars shining down upon his helmet, enemies trampled beneath his feet. It was art. It was power. It was propaganda. Under Naram Sin, the Akkadian Empire reached its territorial and cultural peak, but it also began to unravel. Climate change, yes, even in ancient times, played a role. Evidence suggests that a massive, decades-long drought struck the region during the late 22nd century BCE. Crops failed. Cities were abandoned. Trade routes collapsed. Famine and unrest followed. And into this vacuum came the Gudians, mountain tribes from the Zagros Range who raided and weakened the empire further. By around 2154 BCE, the Akkadian Empire fell. But even in its fall, the Akkadian Empire left behind something extraordinary. It gave us the concept of empire, not just a kingdom expanded through war, but a deliberately structured, multicultural state, built through administration, diplomacy, religious integration, and yes, military power. Its echoes can be seen in every empire that followed in the divine kingship of the pharaohs, in the regional governors of Persia, in the imperial language policies of Rome, and in the bureaucratic reach of the modern nation-state. It gave us Enheduanna's voice, the first voice of a woman, and a writer, reaching out across 4,000 years. It gave us the blueprint of what empire could be, both an engine of innovation and an instrument of dominance. And it gave us the idea that a man of humble origin, real or mythicood, rise to rule the world. In the next episode of Thrones of Power, we travel west, to the land of pyramids and pharaohs, where kings claimed to be gods, and monuments were built to touch eternity. Join us as we explore the power and legacy of the Egyptian Empire. Until then, remember, empires may rise and fall, but their shadows remain.